Well, it is so good to be together with you. What an exciting day we are here to celebrate. And while I know that it's exciting for many, I know some may be here today and you don't feel the excitement. And I think it's okay to recognize that we all come here today with different feelings, different emotions. And while it's exciting for some, it may not be that great of a season for others. But the resurrection of what it means gives us a hope no matter what we go through. And I just want us to think about something. See, the excitement that many of us feel today, that excitement that we are experiencing was not even close to what the first century disciples, the disciples of Jesus, were experiencing on the Sunday after Jesus died. There was no excitement that they had. On that Sunday morning, not just them, everyone thought Jesus was dead. No one believed he was coming back to life. No one thought he would come back to life. On that Sunday morning, everyone thought he was dead. The disciples who had spent 3 years following Jesus, they spent 3 years following this Jesus from Nazareth, they were now hiding in fear. Why? Well, what would stop those in authority who had just executed Jesus 2 days early now from coming after them? Pretty good reason to hide in fear. And Jesus was executed because he claimed to be God, so therefore the religious leaders wanted him dead. The Roman emperor and the Romans wanted Jesus dead because he also claimed to be king, and there's no king but Caesar. Jesus claimed he was God. Jesus claimed he was king. He preached a message, and the disciples heard him preach a message of life. He would make claims that he is resurrection and life. He would say, I am my Father and one, and the Father chooses to give life to whomever he pleases. Well, if Jesus could give life to whomever he pleased, why is he dead? They were not hiding because they were waiting for Jesus to come back to life. They were hiding in fear because they did not believe Jesus would come back to life. Now, not all were hiding. The Gospel of Matthew records on Matthew 28, verse 1, that after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who is the Mary, the mother of James the Lesser, a disciple of Jesus, they went to look at the tomb. The Gospels of Luke and Mark tell us they bought spices to pay tribute to Jesus' body. Why would someone come to a tomb with spices? Because they think that person is still dead. It was a final act of love on their part, an act of love, not an act of belief. See, they expected Jesus to still be dead. And they were there because they loved Jesus and they deeply loved Jesus. But they did not believe he was coming back to life just like he said. On that Sunday, they were like everyone else. They did not believe Jesus said, and his words were true, that he'd come back to life. They maybe have forgotten him. And in that moment, they did not believe Jesus was God. Maybe they thought they misunderstood. Maybe he was just a great teacher or a good teacher that could inspire the crowds. Maybe he was a healer who could do miraculous things. Maybe he was a prophet sent by God and he misunderstood his role. I can imagine their confusion. I can imagine all of that confusion. Jesus of Nazareth had the power to cast out evil demons of Mary Magdalene. He came and rescued her from the thing that had oppressed her for many, many years. She, in her sin, was set free, not just from her sin, but from the curse and the oppressive power of this demonic force that had made life miserable for her. She deeply loved Jesus, and rightly so. Jesus had the power not just to set her free and the authority to set her free, but he showed her and demonstrated that he had the authority to forgive her sin. Oh, she loved him. And both Mary's love for Jesus, they both loved him. And there's no confusion about that after all that they had seen Jesus do and the compassion he showed on all the crowds. But they were too confused about the death of Jesus to really believe that he was who he said he was and he was going to do what he said he would do. Even though Jesus told them many times that he would die and come back to life. Did you know that Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, records four different times where Jesus says prior to his death, talking to his disciples, I'm going to die and 3 days later I'm going to come back to life. Four different times. They weren't remembering that. Ironically, the priests, the Pharisees, they remembered that and went to Pilate and told him. The disciples, they weren't remembering that. All this to say, the Marys were not expecting to see Jesus alive. Another interesting piece of history is that Mary Magdalene and the Mary of James were the last disciples to leave the cross, some of the last disciples to leave the cross, and they are the first to show up at a tomb, at a guarded tomb, at the very risk of their own life. See, the religious authorities had gone to the Roman authorities and they were able to have permission to secure the tomb, putting a seal around it and posting guards on the outside to keep people from getting in on the inside. Little did they know the power that was residing on the inside. All of a sudden, Matthew describes what occurred, that an earthquake occurs, and then an angel appears. The angel's face is so bright, it shines like a lightning bolt, and then the guards, they fall like dead men as they faint. And then we read what Matthew writes. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Crucified. It's interesting that the angel says this because Jesus was crucified. And you know something about every crucified person? Every crucified person stays dead. Every one of them. But he says, I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go and quickly tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Here the angel gives two commands to the women. The first one is not just a command, it's an invitation. Come and see. Come and see the place where he used to lay. Come and see. He is no longer there. Will you underline those three words, come and see, if you have your notes or if you have your Bible? I want you to underline those. This is an invitation of Easter. And the other command was go and tell. Matthew tells us that as they come and see an empty tomb, they are filled with this awe and this fear almost, if you will. They were afraid. And yet they were afraid, yet filled with joy. Fear, yes, in fear, yet filled with joy. They had just experienced a supernatural event. Don't think just only that the tomb rolled away and an angel appeared. Now Jesus is gone, just as he said he would. He came back to life. And it's my belief that their fear was like a fearful awe. And all that comes from experiencing something so powerful that you cannot describe. Have you ever experienced anything? It was so powerful and so amazing and you couldn't describe it? Have you ever had something that overwhelms you? And in that moment, you know how amazing and powerful this is, but yet there's this like a nervous excitement about it. I was thinking about this myself. I've experienced a couple of these in my life. And one of the ones that I remember just kind of being meaningful when I experienced all of this was when we had our first child and they gave and put my son in my hands. I remember all these emotions. I remember the emotion of fear. Oh my goodness, they're going to send us home with him. I remember this sense of joy and awe too as I held this little person fearfully and wonderfully made, and I thought, made in the image of God. Whew. A fearful awe. And I remember the joy that was there with it. I also remember a time when I was standing, and the only thing keeping me away from millions of gallons of water powerfully rushing over a cliff was a plexiglass window as I would stand at the edge of Niagara Falls. And the fear of that moment was real, thinking I am only feet away from this powerful force. But yet the joy of the beauty that I beheld. Oh, in fear, yet all. This is what the women were experiencing at a greater level. My experience doesn't even compare to theirs. They were in fear because of the supernatural event, the powerful event that just took place, and the awe of what that meant for them in the world. See, and this invitation to come and see, come and see, was an invitation that changed so much. Mary's, they saw an empty tomb, and their fearful awe was combined with a great joy because of what they just experienced. And seeing an empty tomb changed everything for them. See, the resurrection of Jesus changed everything that they had believed. And it changed everything for the world at that moment. See, you need to realize this. Until the resurrection, sin and death had power and authority over humanity. Sin and death had the power. Since the beginning of humanity, when Adam and Eve sinned by not believing in God's word, sin and death had held humanity hostage since that point in time. Death had authority over all humanity. The invitation the angels give to the Marys, come and see an empty tomb, filled the women with a fearful awe and joy because of what it meant for seeing an empty tomb. He is risen. The message the angels gave to them were good news, and it was a truth that changed everything about what was real. The resurrection of Jesus Christ now means that he sits in the place of authority. He has the authority over sin and death, which had held all humanity under its oppressive power. The women left the tomb filled with a fearful awe and a joy because of what the resurrection meant for them and what it meant for the world. Jesus is alive, and since Jesus is alive, that changes everything. See, the resurrection of Jesus is the supernatural event that validates that who Jesus claimed to be and everything Jesus and the scriptures teach are truth. That's what it shows us. For Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, a resurrected Jesus was what made them believe everything that Jesus said about himself and he claimed to be was true. At an empty tomb was the evidence for them to change their thinking about who Jesus really was. The invitation, come and see, was an invitation that changed everything for them. Now they must go and tell. And on their way to go and tell, we read that suddenly in verse 9, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The angel then said, "Come and see to the Marys." Check this out. Come and see. Marys, they go and tell. They then see Jesus. They come close to Jesus. And they don't just see Jesus. They touch Jesus. They experience Jesus resurrected, alive, and when they come close, they grab his feet, and what do? They worship him. I think two things are amazing that we must not overlook. First is this. The first people Jesus appears to, and the first people appointed to go and tell about the good news of Jesus' resurrection are women. This is so significant, and we need to understand why this is so significant. The first century, in the first century world, in that world, in that life, in that culture, women were not esteemed, women were not respected, women were considered untrustworthy. One of the main reasons most historians give the resurrection credibility is because no one would write about women seeing Jesus resurrected first unless it really happened that way. Women had no credibility in the first century, and we need to know this about the Gospels. See, the authors had everything to lose by describing that women saw Jesus first. Because if you want in that day and age to manipulate people to believing that Jesus came back to life, you would write that men saw Jesus first, not women. However, because each of the four Gospels, they share that women were the first to see Jesus, historians elevate the plausibility of the Gospels and the plausibility of this event. That is remarkable. Women become the first people also sent by Jesus to proclaim the good news that he is risen. It's amazing what Jesus did through his resurrection to elevate the importance, the value, and the dignity of women by appearing first to the Marys. The second thing that is amazing here is Jesus allows people to worship him because he is God. The resurrection proves that he is who he said he is. He is God. Jesus allows them to worship, and God is the only one who will be worshiped, and he allows them to worship him. He doesn't deny their worship. And if you need proof that Jesus is who he's claimed to be, because there's many people out there saying Jesus never claimed to be God, Jesus allowed himself to be worshiped, and only God is to be worshiped. The resurrection of Jesus proves that everything Jesus claimed about himself and everything Jesus said is true. And the disciples' response, these two women's response to resurrected Jesus Christ, was to worship him. See, the truth of the resurrection is the foundation, not just for our faith. The resurrection and the truth of the resurrection is the foundation for our worship. We continue the resurrection story. The Marys have gone to tell Jesus, and then the 11 disciples, they hear about it, they go to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, the disciples worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So the angels tell Mary, "Come and see." The Marys then go in, see the empty tomb. Now they are going in to tell. They see Jesus. They worship him. And now they're on their way to tell the disciples. The disciples now see Jesus. And how do the disciples respond? The same way the Marys respond. They worshiped him. Matthew's careful to let us know some doubted, and understandably so, because dead men aren't supposed to live again. And then Jesus tells them something remarkable. He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." As if he's saying all authority in every space that can be occupied is now mine. Jesus in this moment is declaring something that is so important for us to understand. Jesus is declaring that he is the greatest king. Caesar is no king. He is not the final authority. In a world that it was governed by Rome, this great empire, Caesar was not king. Jesus alone is the victorious king with all authority, and that changes everything. See, his resurrection is the proof that he now has power over sin and death that had authority over everyone. Jesus is the ultimate authority because he is the victorious king. Come and see. Come and see Jesus who defeated death by coming back to life. The resurrection of Jesus is an invitation for all to come and see him as the victorious king and who has authority over all things, including the thing that has had authority over humanity since the beginning of time and since the beginning of humanity, death. See, this is the importance of the resurrection. Because we don't have to live in fear of death. You don't have to live in fear of death when you know Jesus Christ now has authority over death. See, sin doesn't have to destroy us. Sin doesn't have to destroy you because Jesus Christ is Savior and King of you. Jesus wants us to come and see. Because when we come and see, we will see him for who he is. And then we will worship him. And then we will go and tell. Come and see the evidence of the resurrection. See, the resurrection of Jesus is the evidence of some things I want to just quickly point out. First, it's the evidence of the resurrection. The resurrection is evidence that Jesus is the victorious king who defeated the enemy of humanity, the curse of sin that is death. Jesus came into this world with one purpose, to seek and to save the lost, and he did this by destroying what was holding humanity hostage, the curse of our sins against God. Jesus was, he had to take upon himself. His mission was to take upon himself the curse of humanity through his own suffering and death. So he then could take authority over sin through his resurrection and then give life, and so people can share in that resurrection. To those who believe in him, to whomever would believe in him, they would share in his resurrected life. See, when Jesus came back to life, he took back authority on what the curse of sin held over us. And next, the resurrection of Jesus proves that Jesus is the sovereign king with authority over everything. Since Jesus has authority over sin and death, he now has authority over everything, and that changes everything. See, the resurrection of Jesus is that Jesus is the authority that is greater than any religious authority. Jesus has the authority and he is more powerful. His authority is more powerful than any government's authority. He is the ultimate authority. And I know we don't like authority. You know why? Because we don't trust authority. But he is unlike any other authority. He is an authority you can trust with your life because he lived his life to die to give you life. You can trust he is good. And that is so important because in all the world, there is only one authority, and that one authority you can trust because he is good, because he is the good, loving, victorious king. Yes, he is the ultimate authority, but he's an authority you can trust with your very life. And the last thing I want to point out is that Jesus is the only God who is to be worshiped. The resurrection of Jesus proves that he's the only God to be worshiped. There's only one God, and only one God will be worshiped. Jesus was patient with those disciples who doubted, and I love this. And the reason I believe he was patient with them is because in time, every one of those disciples would live their life and give their life for what they saw, a resurrected Jesus. As we know, most every one of those disciples, all but one, maybe two, were murdered because of their belief in a resurrected Jesus. See, I want you to know something today. Jesus doesn't need your worship. He doesn't need your worship. He desires your worship. He desires your worship because he is your God and he is your king who loves you and demonstrated his love for you in this extreme way so that you could become a part, so you could be a part of his kingdom family. See, many people think that God is against them. Many people think that God is against humanity. He's out to get humanity. But the life, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus is proof that he is not out to defeat you. Jesus didn't come to defeat you. Jesus came to make you brand new and turn you into a brand new humanity, one that can experience the joy that he has for you forever. one that will experience a life that he can give, and he has the authority to give to whomever will trust in him. See, Jesus did this so you can be a part of his kingdom family, all because he loves you first. And it's an invitation to come and see how much he loves you, and it's an invitation to share your love back to him. Because Jesus defeated sin by paying for our sin, Jesus has the authority to forgive our sin. And we can come and see. And we can come and see Jesus just like Mary Magdalene, as she experienced the forgiveness of Jesus and she experienced a resurrected Jesus and she worshiped Jesus. We too can do the same. See, when you believe that Jesus is your victorious King who saves you, you will stand in awe of his power and experience the joy of his love. When we see that Jesus is our victorious King, we will stand in awe of his power and we will see who he really is, and we then will worship him for who he really is. And when we worship him for who he is, we will experience the joy that comes from the life of who he is. And as we stand in awe, he fills us with his life and his joy. So what will your response be to Jesus and his resurrection? Will you come and see? Do you need to come and see, maybe for the first time? Do you need to come and see so you can experience the life and the joy and the awe of God? Or do you need to go and tell? Is that your response? Go and tell others about the good news of Jesus, that he's alive and what that means for the world. If your faith is not in Jesus as your Savior and you're not following him as your King, then today I invite you to take upon the invitation of the angels or the angel to the Marys. Come and see. Will you come and see? Will you come and see how good and trustworthy this victorious King is? For those who have put their faith in Jesus, and this, you are the new humanity made new in Christ because you have trusted in him as your Savior, confessed him as your Lord, I want to remind you to go and tell. So what do you believe about Jesus? Because what you believe about Jesus will determine how you respond to Jesus. Will you worship and follow him, or will you ignore him? See, what you believe about the resurrection will determine who Jesus is to you. It determines everything. The resurrection of Jesus proves he is a victorious King who brings all who trust in him into the kingdom of God. He is a good King we can trust. So who is Jesus to you, and what does the resurrection of Jesus mean for your faith? I want to ask you a question. Well, one last question. Will you look at this question and think about this? Will Jesus be your victorious King, or will Jesus be nothing? See, who Jesus is to you and what the resurrection means to you will determine how you respond to him. Do you need to come and see? If so, today I invite you to trust in the resurrection of Jesus. See Jesus as your victorious, good, and loving King who saves. Come and see and respond with all of us as we worship him. I invite you to put your faith in him today. I invite you just to put your faith. I love what Romans 10:9 says. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that might be what you need to do right now. Believe in your heart he's alive, that God raised him from the dead. And maybe with your breath, just maybe quietly say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my King. For those of us who have confessed Jesus as our King and believed in our heart and we've been a part of this new family, our next step is to worship him and to go and tell. And today, in a moment, we're going to celebrate with people who have believed in their heart that Jesus is alive. and they are going to identify with his death by going under the water, and they're going to identify with his resurrected life. They've confessed him as Lord, and they believed in their heart that he is alive. And so today, as we celebrate with those who are baptized, maybe today, this is your next step of faith. Maybe you've put your faith in Christ, but never have been baptized. Today, I invite you to do that, and we're gonna do that together. And as we wanna celebrate with them, and maybe we can celebrate with you. And we're gonna worship this amazing God together. Father, we ask you right now, give us the courage to come and see who Jesus is. May we come and see this Jesus who your Spirit raised from the dead. Fill us anew with an awe of who he is as our victorious King. And may we worship him in the truth of who he is. And as we worship him, fill us with your joy because of your love for us. And may we